Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Bible Baptist Church. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. And today is a special Sunday. It's our anniversary Sunday, and we're celebrating 41 years here at Bible Baptist Church. And we want to praise God for his faithfulness over the years and for Pastor stepping out in faith and being willing to follow God wherever he leads him. And we want to thank him for all the blessings that he's done through this ministry here in Fort Mill, and especially in my life. I grew up here, and I'm thankful that this church was here. It was here well before I was even thought of, but I've reaped the benefits of it ever since, and we just want to praise God for his faithfulness to this ministry over the years. And today we're going to sing page 453, He Keeps Me Singing. We're going to sing verses 1, 4, and 5. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall rein my fights to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for today where we can gather together and we can hear from your word, Lord. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness again to this ministry and to the people here at Fort Mill, Lord, over these past 41 years. And that your word has been a light here in Fort Mill. That there's many places in the world where there is no light right now shining, but that through this ministry here at Bible Baptist Church, that your light has shone to this community for 41 years. And we want to thank you for that. Be with Pastor as he preaches today, Lord, and fill him with your spirit and with your power, Lord, that we would hear what you need us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Jacob.
Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 27. And then we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 19, and deal with that same subject from that passage. Now, this church is very blessed. In the 41 years that we've been here, we've always had strong children's ministries, and to see the young people come to church and enjoy coming to church and you know, be the ones that want their mom and dad to bring them to church, and then to see them grow up and get married and have children of their own and continue to come to the church and bring their children. And been many people that moved away. Few folks have left the church for whatever reason over the years, but we're thankful for everybody who's been a part of this church in these 41 years. This isn't about me. All I am is a hired servant that the Lord has allowed to be here, and I'm thankful that God has blessed and used me a little bit through these 41 years. But the work has been done by a multitude of people, many sacrifices, many labors, a lot of talent and help through the years, and we're thankful for all of that. We're thankful to support missionaries around the world. And I think my daughter posted last year I believe Scott Curtis read the history of the church, some highlights, and had two or three missionaries that sent greetings. And all of that is on Facebook with the emblem of the church on there. You can click on it and listen to that. It only take a couple of minutes, and it's a good history. We thank God for it. Today, I've been speaking on the husband and wife and family, and I'm kind of going to focus on the youth today, but these principles that we're to teach our young people, they're our responsibility to teach them to the youth, but they're also our responsibility to live them in front of the youth. So the message applies to us all today. We're very blessed to have good homes and good kids in our church. We occasionally have a kid that's troubled. I've seen a couple of kids go through divorce in their home, and the kids reacted in a very bad way, started hanging out with the wrong people, started getting into trouble, reacting to get attention and all that sort of thing. And I see that happening much more outside of our church with people who don't go to church than I see it happening with people in the church. The church has a protection about it. When folks come to church and live for God and be faithful in church and try to live the scriptures, there's a lot of protection, a lot of blessings, and a lot of provision from the Lord that comes because of that. So we're very blessed as a church to have good kids. But I see some serious problems among youth that are not in church, or those that get into trouble and react in the wrong way. I want to say at the beginning that God has made a way for us to have forgiveness of our sins. And if you're saved, the Spirit of God lives within you and you're convicted for the wrong that you do. A saved person is never going to feel comfortable living sinfully. They will be convicted by the Spirit of God, and they will fear what God might do to them in chastening to bring them back to where they need to be. And they won't be comfortable living that life. And so like the prodigal, the important thing to do is come to your senses and come home. Come back to God and find forgiveness and love and restoration. And that is available to anyone who gets out from under the place they need to be with the Lord. Now, in seeing these serious problems of our children being raised today, one of the problems is that many children have been raised in single-parent homes. And God never intended for that to be the case. Now, if you're a single parent and you're raising your kids because of divorce or death or whatever reason, then God bless you. I pray that you have the strength to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that God will bless you and help you if you'll seek His help. And but a boy and a girl need the influence of man and woman in their life. It could be a grandparent, it could be an uncle, it could be an aunt, you know. The influence can be there if you'll allow it to be there, and the kids need that, and they will respond to it. Otherwise, they may get into some of the problems like we see so many kids getting into today with drugs and alcohol and crime and violence and rebellion and reactions to, you know, problems in the home where kids act out in order to get attention. God help us with this, and there's some things that we need to teach them. First of all, in Genesis 1 and verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God made male and female. Our young people need to understand from the time they're old enough to understand the conversation that God created them male or female. God did not create them like a science experiment like we see taking place in the world today. In the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3, Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees about divorce. Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him and saying unto Him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two or twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Our boys and girls need to learn how God created them. God created the human race. He used Adam and Eve, male and female, and they had children, and more children came along, and they continued to have children to replenish those that died off in the days of the beginning. Now, many make choices because they're influenced by evil people. Evil people don't wear a sign saying, I'm evil. People can be have positions like a college professor or a high school teacher, or they can be another young person that sits beside you in class, and they may be moving by Satan's influence to corrupt you and influence you and get you away from what your mother and father have taught you about right and wrong, and get you experimenting with the things that this world experiments, and they get their thinking and theology from Hollywood rather than from God and the Bible. And so there's grave danger today with our youth being influenced by the wrong people. Satan works through sinful men and women, and people reap in their lives of another generation. When men and women are living sinful lives and they produce offspring and bring them up in that environment, then quite often those children make terrible decisions and are influenced in a terrible way because of the corruption of their parents. And so many are born with all kinds of effeminacy and wrong influence of example, and they don't know how to be a man, they don't know how to be a lady. And God help us to teach our young people who they are and how God created them. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, the Bible makes it very clear that we belong to the Lord. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to the Lord. Christ paid the price on Calvary. He shed his precious blood to purchase our redemption. And now we belong to him. The goal for us in appreciation to him is now to live for God according to his word, which will bring honor and glory unto God. And that is our purpose in life. The Bible teaches us to avoid sexual sins. The reminder, because we belong to him. And our context in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 6, flee fornication. Every sin a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And so dealing with sexual sins, he reminds us that we belong to God and our body's not ours to do with as we please. We've been bought with a price, and so let us serve God and seek to glorify him. Our young people need to understand that God wants us all to learn who we are and who we belong to and what is required of us, that we seek to glorify God, that we obey our parents, that we submit to the laws of the land and civil government that God has blessed us with. Back in Romans chapter 6, and beginning with verse number 9, I want to read a few verses to you from there. Romans 6 and verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we have a great accountability to God and responsibility, but God has given us the tools that we need in order to live righteously and please Him. In Romans 8:28, the scripture says that we understand that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And the context is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God has a purpose for your life, and God has a purpose for you parents' lives, that we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them the respect of the things God has laid down in His Word. God has saved us from judgment and wrath. And if you're saved today, you should thank God He saved you from the wrath to come. You read the book of Revelation, and there's some horrible things that are going to happen on this earth. You think this virus is bad. You think it's bad looking for toilet paper. If you're left in the tribulation period upon this earth, my friends, without knowing Christ as your Savior, then there's some horrible things that you've got to look forward to. But all of you that have been saved, praise God, you're delivered from the wrath to come. And we must be thankful for that. God has not only saved us and delivered us, He has justified us. That means He's cleansed us of our sins when we got saved and declared that in the eyes of God we are righteous. I've stood in court before with some traffic problems and had the judge rap the gavel and say guilty and laid a fine on me for the wrong I had done. But my friends, I certainly don't want to stand before God and hear Him declare His wrath on judgment on something that I have done. I'm thankful Christ died in my place and paid the price that I might be justified from my sins, declared righteous before God. He also, the Bible says, glorified those that He saved and justified. And the fact is, we've got a new body. And God's going to give us that body when He takes us home to heaven to be with Him forevermore. And we have the blessings of a new home in heaven. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with Him forever and forever. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. That ought to make us thankful. That ought to make us rejoice. That ought to make us focus on that when we're tempted to do wrong things. Peter said the wrath of God is coming on the earth and it's going to be destroyed and all the things we know are going to be burned up. And he said, knowing this, what manner of person should you be in all holy living and godliness, looking for God to fulfill His plan with the earth? We see the things happening today. It reminds us, surely the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we should be living expectantly, looking for Jesus to come again. We should be diligent to avoid the stains of sin so that we stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Kids and teens are growing up today, many of them without the kind of teachings that you, our church people, give your children and you other godly Christians that watch the program. The way you raise your families. There are a lot of kids growing up without that, and they're influenced by people that don't have their best at heart, and they can get hard-hearted and distant and harder to reach the older they grow with that kind of attitude. We've got to be the example to them. We've got to be the shepherds over them. We're not the good shepherd that gives our life for the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd. But if you're a parent, God placed you as a shepherd over your home to teach your children and protect your children and guard your children. And they need everything that you can do for them. And teach them accountability to you and to God. And I think a great thing when you sit out at the supper table is sometimes ask them, What are you thankful about the home and family that we have? Get them thinking that way, focusing that way, because I promise you, my friends, there's a way longer list of things we need to be thankful for than there are things that we need to complain about. We need to know who we are in God. We are male or female. All this other stuff, my friends, didn't come from God. It came from somewhere else. Number two, we need to teach our young people, and we must learn submission to authority. Self-will is a part of our nature. And we were born with a sinful nature, and therefore we're already under condemnation and need to be saved to be delivered from that. Self-will works against us all the time. We don't like to be corrected. Our nature is that we don't like somebody to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. We don't like restrictions. Adam and Eve didn't like them either. That's what got us into all this trouble. God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, the day you eat of it, you're sure to die. And they had a multitude of trees that produced fruit. They could have eaten of every one of them. But they ate of the one they were prohibited from eating from. They disobeyed God. And I know some of you got a nature that you don't like to be told what to do. And you walk down the street and there's a sign there that says, do not step on the grass. You look around, see if anybody's looking, and you go over and step on it anyway. It's just something in your heart that makes you want to disobey and want to do what you want to do and not have anybody telling you what you're supposed to do. You see, we've got to learn to submit to authority. Growing up as a teenager, I wasn't saved. I didn't like restrictions that my poor little mother tried to put on me. My dad just let me raise myself, and I did a poor job of it. And I joined the Marine Corps at 17 years of age, and I found out what submission to authority was all about. I had to say, yes, sir, and no, sir. And I had to salute the proper authorities. And I had to stand at attention. And I had to do all the exercises and the running and all the things that went along with it. And when I was given an order, I would respond immediately, not debate with my drill sergeant on whether I wanted to do that or not, or what was the reason for this. No, you just had to obey. You had to learn submission to authority. That did a lot for me in my life, because it taught me to respect those who are over me and to obey those who are over me. God expects the husband and wife to submit to Him, and He expects them to submit to each other, and He expects them to submit to the chain of authority that He has given. In Romans 13, Paul wrote about civil government and our responsibility to submit to civil government. In chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, that they that are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. God established civil authority. God placed people over us, and He did it to protect us. If we're honest and trustworthy, and we follow the principles of God's word, and we seek to live right, we have nothing to fear from the law, because God gave the law to enforce evildoers and to capital punishment was given by God. He doesn't bear the sword in vain. And if we're godly, then law-abiding, then we don't have anything to fear. The Scripture says, if God be for us, then who can be against us? But I've seen rebellion. I've seen it since Mr. Obama became the President of the United States escalate over his 8 years to a tragic outcome with these football players taking a knee and disrespecting the police and disrespecting authority of our country and disrespecting the military. And it isn't just the black race. There's a lot of black people who served in the military honorably and who salute our flag and who trust God. But those young people are being influenced by these celebrities that are leading them astray. And they're causing hate for the police department, hate for civil laws. And they're not growing up with a spiritual environment respecting their mother and father and respecting the police and respecting those in authority over them. And they will reap what they sow, and there's a grave danger there. Our young people need to be taught these things, and they need to be taught in a godly manner and with a caring heart to draw them out of where they are today. There's a third thing. We need a clear conscience with God and man. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1 verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And then he lists a couple of people, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So it's important that we have a clear conscience. Our walk with God, He wants us to enjoy our walk with Him and to walk in righteousness, that our lives not only honor and glorify Him, but it's what's best for us. That we don't go through the hardship of what you reap if you live in sin. In 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, Paul talks about Timothy, a young man who became the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and who was a godly emissary that Paul could send to a church to instruct them and to bring back messages to him. And he says that apparently he grew up in somewhat of a single-parent home, but he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, and they taught him the truth of God, and he learned salvation at a young age. 2 Timothy 1, 5. Paul was able to use him and send him, and Paul had a great love for him. And Timothy had wept with Paul in prayer, and Paul longed to see Timothy again and remember his tears. He was raised without a mention of a dad in the Scripture. Well, we thank God for the kids that come to this church that live right and do right, and it gives us hope for the future of leaders who will be here to take over and take up the mantle when we fall, when we die and pass away and can no longer serve in the capacity that we're in today. There's a new crop of young people coming along that believe the same way we believe and live the same way we live, and they're righteous in their life, and thank God for them. But I pray their tribe will increase manyfold, because it's fewer and fewer as the years go by. Fourthly, this generation needs to be taught to look past the negative influences and undermining of the truths of God's Word and of the civil authority that God established. Hebrews says that we're to be slow to speak and slow to wrath, and that we need to listen to the things of God. Don't get bitter because of hardship. Bitterness defiles the person who becomes bitter. Bitterness doesn't hurt another person who hurt you and made you bitter. Bitterness hurts you. It doesn't hurt them at all. It won't bother them sleeping at night. It won't have any recourse on them. It'll eat you up inside if you become bitter. And so cast off bitterness. Take it to the Lord. Pray and ask God to intervene in your circumstance. God wants you to enjoy the journey of your life with His influence and not get sidetracked by the influences of the world around us. Holiness, making the path straight for us, and that we should not be turned out of the way. Young people need to learn to love their parents and honor their mother and father. Do what is good and right in your home. Come to a place where you get married. Jacob was up here leading this song today, and Lord willing, by the end of June, he's supposed to get married. And he'll be bringing his wife back here, and they'll be a part of the church staff here. And they've already bought a condominium, and God's blessed in just a myriad of ways already in their lives. And we pray God is going to bless this marriage in a tremendous way. And young people can grow up, they can have a godly marriage, and they'll look back and be thankful. So be a thankful person, not a complainer. Be a person who accepts that your parents have authority and they need to teach you right from wrong. And don't be a rejecter like Esau, who rejected his birthright for nothing more than a morsel of food that his brother used to take it away from him. Don't become judgmental and be a complainer and a blamer if you don't get everything you want and things don't go your way. It's important that you recognize hardships will make you a better person. Life is a spiritual boot camp for us to grow in and become strong and become leaders that God needs us to be. That brings us to point five. We need to teach and learn ourselves moral responsibility. In the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 6 through 10, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We all reap as we sow. That is a universal principle that God has instituted. In gardening, if you plant tomato seeds, you're going to get tomatoes. You're not going to get cucumbers. We reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. You plant one kernel of corn and you get a stalk and it's got two or even three ears on it, and each ear has dozens of kernels on it that you could save for seed to plant again, and all of that's produced by that one kernel. We sow to the flesh sinful things and we reap what we sow, and we reap more than we sow. But if we sow good things, we reap more good things than what we sow. And so it's important that we learn the principle that we reap what we sow. Our young and old alike need to learn, if you don't get caught doing something wrong, if your parents don't catch you or the police don't catch you, that doesn't mean that you've gotten away with it. I think about all these cities where they have riots and looting and all of that sort of thing, throwing rocks through windows and stealing televisions and all the things that happen in that kind of environment. Listen, you don't get away with anything like that. God's going to make sure you're going to reap what you sow, and you're going to reap more than you sow. And if you don't get it till you die and go stand before God, you're going to get it then, my friend. And I understand the principle of what the Bible teaches. And I want you not to have to stand before God in His judgment and His wrath. And that's why Christ died for you. And that's why he's given me a burden to preach the Word of God and to share the way of salvation and help you know you can be forgiven of your sins and given everlasting life and given a home in heaven, and you don't have to live under the judgment of reaping what you sowed. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it is the will of God that we separate from sin unto God, that we abstain from sexual sins, that we learn self-control and self-discipline, that we do not defraud a brother or anyone else. The Lord avenges such. God expects holiness from us and not uncleanness. To despise laws and morals is to despise God's word. And boy, that's a dangerous place to be in, to have a despising toward God in any way. A believer has a spirit to convict us, and we will confess to God our sin and find forgiveness and restoration. If you don't know the Lord, my friend, you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You're still in your own flesh and in a sinful nature, and you don't have discernment to judge rightfully right from wrong. You'll do a lot of bad things, and you may reap for what you did wrong. So it's important that you come to Christ and be saved, forgiven of your sins, receive the Spirit of God, that if you do wrong, He will convict you, that you come back to Him and seek forgiveness. Number 6, there's a power in Christ that we all need. Back in Romans chapter 6, the Bible tells us how we are to yield to Him and reckon ourselves dead unto sin and let not sin reign in our mortal bodies. We've been identified with Christ through baptism, immersed under the water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life. We're to reckon ourselves dead to sin but alive to God. We're to remember, I followed the Lord in believer's baptism not in order to get saved. Those poor Duck Dynasty folks that are on TV and all, you know, they baptized a cameraman and they baptized him so he could get the Holy Spirit. No, that's not how it works, friends. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And water baptism is a symbol of what took place when you believed on Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection to new life. Thanks be unto God that it is based on Christ and not on the works that we do. Then we are not to yield ourselves to sin and to temptation. We're to yield to God as those who are alive from the dead and become an instrument of righteousness unto God. Yield ourselves, yield our members as instruments of righteousness. The way we used to live for the devil in sin, now we're to live for the Lord in righteousness. Now you're able to produce fruit for God unto holiness and righteousness as the servants of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. Last of all today, this is what you've been waiting for, number 7, and it's short. We need to teach our young people purpose in life. It is found in God's plan for them. You're going to high school. You don't have to know if you're going to college or where you're going to college. You don't have to know who you're going to marry and how many kids you're going to have. God will give you what you need when you need it. And I graduated from college and I didn't have any idea where I was going and what I was going to do. I thought God was just going to have it all laid out for me in an easy plan and all that sort of thing. So we packed up our bags and we moved back here to our hometown. And I thought, you know, if the Lord is in it, I'll try to start a church in the town of Fort Mill. Fort Mill didn't have an independent Baptist church back then. And I thought it needed one. And I thought, God, if you'll let me do that, I'll try to do that for you. But I always thought maybe God had sent me to the mission field or maybe God had sent me out to California. I always felt there were a lot of heathen out there and they need to get saved. And I'm just joking with Jacob. And I was there in California at Camp Pendleton in the Marine Corps, and I liked California, and I thought there are not as many churches there as there are down here in the South. Maybe God would send me there. But God didn't let me go to the mission field, but he gave me a burden for missions. And this church gives over $100,000 a year to missions and has for many, many years now. And we thank God for that. And God gave us a burden to support those that go and take the gospel to other people. But he didn't let me go and do that. He put me here. And as we started the church, we began to see that God was in what we were doing and blessing what we were doing. And it hadn't been easy, but God has been good, and God's people have been good. We seek to learn to please God and not please people. What's important is not what other people think, but what does God think? And if we know our heart is right with God and we're making the decision with God to do the right thing, don't let others influence you negatively to do sinful and wrong things. Live for God and serve God. Love your parents and honor them, and pray for those who are in authority that you can lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. Seek to be successful. Work hard. Seek to be successful. Get training. Get education. Seek to be successful in what you do, because whatever we do, we're to do it all for the glory of God. God needs people to do all kinds of things. He needs people to be in the ministry. He needs people to go to the mission field. But he also needs people to fix cars and build houses and all those kind of things. And if you know for sure that's what God wants you to do, then you can be serving God and pleasing God with a craft as much as somebody that's in the ministry. We're just doing what God would have us to do, and let him be glorified for what's accomplished. Father, we bow our heads in appreciation and thanks, and to show our respect unto you, we ask that you'll bless the message. I said some pretty hard things compared to the world today, Lord. I could probably get some mail because of this, and that's okay, because what I said was the Word of God, and I'll stand under that. If it brings the judgment of men, then I know that you will do what you did for Peter. He was locked up for preaching the gospel, and you sent an angel, the chains fell off, and walked back over to the church where they're having prayer meeting. Lord, you're on the throne. You're all powerful. We ask you to remove this virus and protect your church here from it. We're looking forward to having services again soon, and we pray that you'll receive our praise and our thanks. And we worship you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.